At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and we are talking tonight about Survivor 42, Episode 9, recapping the double boot that resulted in Roxroy and Tori going home. Roxroy was the surprise boot of this, I believe. Tori was not the surprise boot, but I think Tori's way of going home was definitely the more surprising of the two, just because we thought that Tori's would have been a little bit more straightforward, and Roxroy's should have been like the bigger blind side. I understand that Roxroy's was the blind side. Just Tori did not go the way that I thought she was going to go. And I think the ordering of these tribal councils really, really put the final nail in her coffin. But a lot to talk about on this episode here, and we'll be breaking down everything as we now get into the final 8 of this season. And man, I don't know who the hell is going to win this thing, because we keep making Gabon comparisons. Is there anybody who's come out of this unscathed, or is this going to be the most complex? Something like it's all going to be the complex personality, whatever Edgic does. Is there anybody who comes out of these first, however, 9 episodes of Survivor that doesn't have a complex edit? Like, there's no straight, we've had a great edit from start to finish. I guess somebody said Omar, but
I was literally about to he's probably the only one. And probably just Omar and Lindsay. I guess.
Well, Lindsay's not complex or over the top, right? She's under the radar.
God, she just survived tonight. Give the poor thing a break. There's obviously a lot to talk about tonight, but I would be remiss if I did not mention that Tori went home with one eye rolling out of her face, which is exactly how I've always wanted Tori to go home. I'm sad to see her go. She's really been an exciting person to hate root for. And she went out even with an eye roll. I think, she obviously went out under very interesting and different kind of circumstances, but I think she did it with a lot of grace. And I think she did it on as much of quote unquote her terms as was possible for that situation. And I felt just from an edit perspective, it did feel really obvious that Roxroy was going home, which I was a little annoyed about. But obviously that tribal council was extremely secondary to the other tribal council. Obviously they were going to go through his pretty quickly.
Because without the first tribal council, the second tribal council doesn't go down the same way it did. If Romeo 100%. Was sitting over there, that second tribal council doesn't go the same way it did. Now, what I was trying to suss out in the second tribal council, because at the end of the day, I know how to talk about Survivor. That's what I feel like I know how to talk about. I don't know how to talk about all the other stuff that was going on there. And for me to sit here and act like I do know how to talk about all that is going to make me look not good. I'm just here. But I was trying to suss out, based on Drea's reaction to Roxroy sitting over there, we could see the anger immediately. And she starts having the discussion about, I'm looking at 2 black people sitting over there. Then she offhandly made a comment about, I know you're coming for me. So now my question about this is, had she sniffed it out, and was she going to play her idol tonight and she was going to end up being safe anyway? Or was that more of just a statement that just came out as you're going to be coming for me because of what I'm looking at over on the tribe on the jury bench? I just thought that was very, very interesting. And I really wish we could get to the bottom of that, because I would love to know what was actually going on in her head in that moment. And if coming into that tribal, she was planning on playing her immunity idol anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think seeing what she saw in the jury, that then it immediately became a no questions asked, she's playing her idol. The reason that I think she at least knew is because when back on the beach, when Jonathan went to her and said, let's get rid of Marianne, she did have a confessional saying I feel sketchy about that. Some flags are being raised. I don't know what the percentage chance of her having played it if like Romeo was on the jury, but I think she knew her name was out there, which is probably enough. I was nervous that she wasn't going to play, and I thought she was about to go home with $900,000 worth of Survivor tokens in her bag. So
more than that, because I think like 10th place, I think you're only probably picking up like 40K, 30K. You're not picking up that much.
That sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So I think that there was a very real possibility of her going home tonight. I walked into that commercial break thinking Drea or Marianne was going home, because I thought there was no chance that Marianne was going to play her idol. So obviously went the complete opposite direction.
Yeah, I it's very weird how it played out. Now I gotta say, like, when it came to why they were throwing Marianne's name around, why Jonathan insisted on we're going to throw Marianne's name out, I think Jonathan was playing. Now, Jonathan looked genuinely shocked when Lindsay was like, okay, but then Marianne goes home. Like, but we don't have the extra vote. We don't have the idol, any of that stuff. Part of me wonders, was Jonathan actually hoping those things would get out of the game? Hmm. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, he wants Drea's idol gone. He wants idols gone.
He wants idols gone. So that's why I'm wondering, like, was he almost hoping? And I'm not, I don't know what the answer to this is. And based on his reaction to Lindsay, it sure seemed like he was stumped by what Lindsay said.
That was tough.
But was he all like, again, I don't know. But was there part of him that was hoping he could keep throwing Marianne's name around and nobody would say anything? Because then if Drea goes home or plays an idol, then Marianne goes home with an idol. Now, Logan says here, nah, I think Jonathan misplayed judging by his reaction. I agree that that's what it seemed like. But could he also have been caught off guard by the fact that Marianne didn't call him out? It was Lindsay who called him out. Granted, he keeps fighting with Lindsay and all of that, and it was not a good look for him at all by any means. But how are they planning to get rid of Marianne's idol? And at this point, do they like, obviously Marianne's idol is gone now, but that's not how they plan to have it go. So like, what was the mentality behind this? I'm just very confused. That's all.
I mean, it sounds he had the plan A. Plan A was a good plan. Get rid of one of the two people with idols. The problem was plan B just didn't really exist. And for what it's worth, that is extra hard when there's only five people and two of the people have idols and one of those people or one of the five has immunity necklace. There's just not a lot of wiggle room. But I think Lindsay ends up, finally, Lindsay has like a bit of a coming out episode where she's saying, you know, you can't just hope that you can vote someone out with an idol, because both of them were extremely aware of the fact that they were sort of on the outs. I'm really curious to see like what, you know, what this means in later episodes. I don't think like any alliance other than Drea losing her what seemed like her number one in Roxroy, I still think that there's a chance that all of these people still work together. I think at least from like the conversation alone, like there's a lot that came out of this. Jonathan and Drea were hugging. I'm not saying that means anything other than what it means. Jonathan did every single wrong thing. He has a lot to learn. He should never have called Drea aggressive. And I think that just whipped the whole thing up. But I hope more people see that they are hugging at the end. It was just really ugly. It was really shitty. And I hate that Marianne and Drea lost their idols because of this. That is, see, it's not how I would have liked for them to use it.
But this is what I'm trying to figure out. Did they lose their idols? And did they lose their idols because of this?
Whatever,
or were they going to play their idols anyway? That's what I'm trying to decipher in my brain, because they remember too, Lindsay said to Tori, or said to somebody, said to Tori, we're still splitting. It seems like going into tribal council, the plan was to split between Drea and Marianne, not Drea and Tori, which so either way.
But maybe Drea, Marianne, and who else would have voted for Tori? I don't know.
Jonathan. No, I don't think anybody. Was voting for. So here's the crazy thing about this, right? Obviously a huge tribal council. And there's one thing that I do actually want to bring up. That, you know, we'll see if that ends up killing me. But what happened with this was, I'm wondering if everything that happened at this tribal actually changed who went home. And hear me out on this. If they were planning to split the votes, Marianne knew that Jonathan had said to her face, we need to vote Drea, but if she plays an idol, we're going to vote. We're going to tell her we're voting you. So now if Drea plays the idol, Marianne knows to stand up and say, no, and play the idol. And then
Tori, I think if one of them played
anyway, right?
I think if one of them played their idol, the other also would have. I just watched David vs. Goliath in the past few days, and there were so many times where one person plays an idol and the next person jumps up and does the same thing. I think that's a result of it. It's just like a small group of people. Both, all parties are aware that they both had idols. So it wasn't like if one person plays it, the other one's like, ooh, surprise.
Yeah.
I think in just tribal councils this small, then you got to do
what
you
got to do. I think ultimately Tori was doomed tonight no matter what. But I'm looking for the confirmation, and I'd love to hear it from Drea in some capacity. Had she sniffed it out, and somebody here said Dalton Ross already posted it and said that she had. But yeah. Had she sniffed that out, and then was Marianne the next target? Because if she was, both idols were going tonight either way, and then Tori was going home. It's just interesting to see how that worked. I have so much to say, though, about this tribal. And one thing that I do want to point out for anybody who is like looking at this from the lens of it's April 27th, 2022, I think what people need to remember about this season is that this was filmed in what, April of 2021 or something like that? It was April of 2021, right? This was filmed. Right. The last thing that all of these people saw when they left was a lot of what was going on with Black Lives Matter and all of that. So I think while right now, obviously, people are still heightened to this, I do think that like we might be like not as heightened to it as we were a year ago. I think that we need to remember they went out on this island right in the middle of all of that, like when it was like really, really at the forefront, at the focus of everything that was going on in this country. So I do think that's also why, you know, Drea is seeing this. And I think that could also be playing into part of why this felt even more of an issue and more of a thing. Because somebody brought up a point in here earlier. Drea doesn't know that this conversation also happened in season, like there was something similar in season 41. And she doesn't know everything that we saw in season 41 with Shan and Deshaun and Danny and all of them. And so I just think that that's like a perspective that needs to be remembered. That this did not film a week ago or 2 weeks ago, or this filmed an entire year ago when there was a lot going on. And that's just it. The second thing, though, that I want to say that has nothing to do with that is this. Jeff, ultimately, especially in this new era of Survivor, needs to still remember that while they're doing this, there is money on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to stop trying at the end of these big, big, big moments, because he almost screwed up huge tonight. He needs to stop trying to appease everybody at the end of these big moments, because now that you have the shot in the dark, Lindsay almost went home tonight because of Jeff. Because Jeff sat there and said, well, would everybody be okay just voting for Tori? And everybody sat there like this was Kimmy Kappenberg night on Survivor House. And they sat there and all pointed at Tori, and Tori said, great, I'm gonna go play my shot in the dark. That's bullshit.
Like, why didn't Lindsay
do it?
Why didn't Lindsay do it? I don't know if Lindsay chose not to or she didn't get an opportunity to, but, and Jeff even says this, like, it's really uncomfortable and difficult to bring it to like, oh, well, who's gonna vote for who? And who's gonna take home 30K tonight instead of 50K? Like, he did okay, but I thought that was really weird that like Lindsay could have gone home just because she didn't play the shot in the dark. I feel like because they made it a conversation, there shouldn't have been shots in the dark.
That's or what I'm they saying. Both should have.
But then if they both do and they both get to, I don't know.
Because think about it though, back when this happened with Kimmy Kappenberg and Keith, Kimmy went home because there was nobody else to point at. Like that was easy. She didn't have an idol. Everybody else played the idol train and that was it. So what frustrates me is, was Lindsay just so shocked that she didn't even think like, oh, I should play mine? Because you absolutely play yours, because now that person has a 16.7% chance of being safe and you don't. Mm-hmm. And I think Jeff just needs, and you could see on Jeff's face like, oh, shoot, I have to let her play this but that shouldn't have happened. I just think that, like, I don't know. I just think that this was a massive, massive,
almost mess up by Jeff.
Almost mess up by Jeff Probst. Yeah.
Yeah. That I feel like the, again, they've had these like open debate tribals before, but never with a shot in the dark in existence. I feel like it would have been better to not have the shot in the dark be an option, because he was like, Tori, go walk over there and do it. And then it was just really, really odd. I do appreciate that they moved it to debate, because it would have been weird to just be like, okay, well, good talk, everyone. Like, go vote. Like, that would have been the only thing that would have been weirder. But yeah, I don't know if the rules is the right word, but just like the process was a little odd.
And JPB Productions says this. Lindsay didn't, because she knew she'd have an 83.333% chance of staying.
That's fair.
But the thing is, we found out that everybody has a 1 in 6 shot, no matter what. Just because Tori goes up there and pulls hers, now Lindsay doesn't have a 1 in 5 chance. So go and do it and just play your shot in the dark, and both of you now have a 16% chance of being safe, because they could both get safe, is what I'm saying.
It also could have been, I'm just thinking about this, like, Jonathan said, I'm voting for Tori. I think Drea and Marianne also said, I'm voting for Tori. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anybody, quote unquote, voted for Lindsay. So maybe that's why, like, it was pretty much on the paper, 3 votes Tori, 0 votes Lindsay. Maybe that's why.
But the biggest thing is, like you're saying there, this shot in the dark is supposed to be played before they know who the votes are going to.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it became a problem. And, like, again, I understand that this game is evolving, and I understand that Jeff is trying to do what's best
on the nose, too, like, literally on the fly.
He's trying to do it. I mean, he's in an impossible situation a lot of the time. I mean, this game has evolved from what it was early on, which was the social experiment, where they were talking about pretty, like, minor things a lot of the time, to now there's a lot more major conversations happening. And a lot of times, like, you can tell he doesn't know what to do. He did in the moment what he thought was right, and then he let Tori go up and do something that she should have never been allowed to do. I just think that, like, I get that these moments are going to happen more and more on the show. So if you don't like them, you should probably stop watching Survivor, because they're going to be happening a lot more on the show. It's just a fact of how the game is now. But Jeff needs to be better prepared for these moments and be able to have that plan of, you know, like, this wasn't a Varner incident. Like, there wasn't somebody that you could point the finger at and say, like, you're done. Like, you're just gone. Like, that wasn't what this was. This was very much Drea and Marianne explaining their side of what was going on with all of this and how they felt that this was a problem with the game of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So they had this conversation. Jeff still does not really have a choice but to have the vote in this new era, or they just have to get rid of the shot in the dark and all the stuff that can be played afterwards. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah, I think, and again, I think, like, all things considered, like, it obviously ended up working out fine, but I'm curious if the shot in the dark, like, is going to continue to last, like, not just after this, just in general, because it has still never worked.
Nobody has used it correctly. So, like, the 1 in 6 shot, I think we've seen more than 6 people use it at this point, and nobody's gotten it right. Another thing, and then we can move off and actually talk about the rest of the episode. Although, really, the episode was a half hour of tribal councils. The other thing that I really want to say here with this is, with the shot, was it the shot in the dark? I had a point that was going with the shot in the dark, and I completely forgot it. And I'm going to remember it in a couple minutes. And then what if Tori had extra votes or something? Mm-hmm. Like, what if Tori had 2 extra votes and that was it? You know, and now we're at a 5-person thing. Now Tori all of a sudden has 3 votes for herself. Like, I just feel like it was weird how, like, that was done that way with how many advantages are still in the game. Go back to Game Changers when this did happen. Totally different thing. Just a totally different thing.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's comparing them. I think they're just completely different.
I'm just saying Jeff's reactions after, in terms of, like, we're not going to hold a proper vote. Yeah. That was the same reaction in 2 very different circumstances. And, like, I think that needs to be held for, like, incredibly special circumstances, which is the Jeff Varner incident.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, everything else that happened. So the split. first of all, we see how this episode starts, right? So we see the men are going to make a men's alliance, and High is not all about it because High is not a misogynist. That's his words, not mine. So he comes out, he's like, forget this. I'm not doing it. Whatever. Omer's not about it. All this stuff is going on. And then we see the split, and it's five men, and then it's Jonathan and four women. So we know a woman is going home tonight because Jonathan wins individual immunity and there's no choice. So I guess the men kind of got what they wanted with their alliance. Roxroy goes home with all men on his tribe. How much of this do we think was like the editors being like, man, we are going to have some fun with Roxroy? Because Roxroy's final words were very nice. They were very touching. It was like a nice like moment, good ending to this episode that got really, really heavy. He had a really nice ending there. But man, for him to want to create an all men's alliance and then be on a tribe of all men and be the one who goes home, pretty fascinating.
The poor guy. He just, yeah. I mean, that's like how, in like, that is the type of game that Roxroy would succeed in. And I mean that because he likes making shelter. He likes throwing down, and that's totally cool. But it's just not the way Survivor is. So I think, like, I feel like as soon as his name came up, I was like, dang, like he's totally screwed. I was interested with Mike's kind of internal debate of, well, I gave him my word and now no one's going to think we're trustworthy. I do think that's a really cool point about people aren't going to think we're trustworthy. I think that like this felt very like old school mindset of, oh, like people aren't going to trust me anymore. I'm curious if, first of all, I don't really think that's what people are going to be talking about when they come back, but I'm curious if people are going to applaud him because I think he thinks that he's like, oh my God, no one's ever going to trust me again.
Yeah. I do appreciate that he voted the way he did tonight. I think it was the right move. Mike votes Roxroy tonight, which if he gets to a final tribal, they're going to sit there and say, well, Mike, you weren't willing to let, you were playing to the jury the whole time. You knew Roxroy was going home and yet you still voted for somebody else. Mm-hmm. I appreciated that, but I did like his mentality and why he was thinking that way. Like he said, I have no problem taking out Roxroy. That's fine. But if we do it, what's the rest of the tribe going to think? And not for nothing, Mike was pretty much 100% spot on that Roxroy going home was going to cause a big reaction. He just didn't see this reaction being the reaction it was going to cause. I don't think he was thinking that way, but he did expect people in his alliance, which are Drea and are Jonathan and are Lindsay, to have a gigantic reaction to Roxroy going home. He wasn't wrong. And I do think that those four guys who walked home from that tribal council are in for a really rude awakening when these other four players come back, because mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot to talk about and there's going to be a lot that's going on and they weren't a part of it. And it's going to like, there's going to be a heavy conversation about why did Roxroy go home? Now, at the end of the day, why did Roxroy go home? Because three guys decided to team up on him because they didn't like the way he was being all macho men. So in reality, he went home
because of what he wanted,
because he was trying to do an all men's thing. I get what he's doing, and not for nothing. Like, I think like gender alliances are always something people are going to try to do as an easy, like, hey, we're at 10, we can do this, let's go to 6. Like, you're going to see that every time, whichever gender is in power. I just think that's a no brainer at this point. Mm-hmm. But because Roxroy went home in the same episode he was pitching it, they could just have as much fun as they wanted to with us.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I think gendered alliances like haven't worked for a really long time. And now I feel like their average shelf life is 12 minutes. Like it's like a commercial break is their shelf life. And again, I think Roxroy is like an amazing like season 4 player. And I mean that as a compliment. I'm really glad he was on this season. And he self-admittedly, he was like, I don't really know how to do the strategy thing. And for what it's worth, he tried and he went to like some like people who he thought were bros about it. So like, I don't like, you know, he tried like.
And they were bros about it. The biggest problem was that he was going to High and Romeo. Romeo doesn't like, well, he wasn't going to Romeo, but Romeo was never going to work.
Poor Romeo wasn't even invited.
I think what people are missing right now is So I personally don't think High is playing a very good game. I think his game is falling apart. I think he's starting to get personal with things. I think he's starting to,
The post-tribal at the beginning was tough.
It was tough. And that felt too aggressive in this season of like, we've heard so much talk about the men trying to lower themselves, like, and not be aggressive. We've heard Mike say it, we've heard Jonathan say it, we've heard all that. And I get High was going at Romeo, but I just feel like in this season, it's not a good look, because I do believe that Mike, Jonathan, all these people who are saying it, they're probably saying it because they're getting word from the people in their alliance that it's like, yo, you better chill the hell out. Because like, I'm pretty sure Lindsay has probably jilted Jonathan on multiple occasions. You better stop. Like, you got to calm down and you can't talk to Marianne like that. And I think that's why he's so like, why he's wrecking it, because it's constantly being told to him. But I think High is playing too aggressive. I think what people are missing right now is that Omer doesn't give a shit who you are. He doesn't care what tribe you started on. He doesn't care if you guys sleep next to each other every night. He does not care if you had the best conversation and you guys know everything about each other's families. He does not care about anybody but Omer. And I mean that in the best way possible.
He's killing it.
He is playing a perfect game of Survivor. I still don't see how he's going to win. I feel like he's almost too obvious at this point still. But nobody else is looking at Omer as a threat to them. They think Jonathan and Omer are best buds, and Omer and Mike are best buds. And that's why Roxroy feels comfortable going to Omer and saying this. And Omer's the reason Roxroy went home tonight. He's the reason.
Yeah, Omer is on fire. Like, if he makes it to the end, I feel like he absolutely crushes it. And I don't really think there's a reason he wouldn't make it to the end. Like, taking my edit hat off, literally nobody is talking about him. No. Everybody wants to work with him. He just saved Romeo. Romeo, I assume, feels pretty indebted to him. I don't see a world in which like people immediately turn around and think that Omer is in trouble. They had like Drea and Lindsay like being saying he is in control, and conveniently, like, we don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. It's getting to a point where there's only 8 people left, so there's not a lot of room to hide anymore. But man, he is on fire. And someone asked if anyone's written his name down. I do not think he's gotten a vote yet. So he's actually playing a perfect game.
Well, and here's my thing with Omer too. Tonight's tribal council helps him immensely. I'm sorry. Like, I'm just going to call it as a survivor game. Marianne and Drea both don't have idols now. That is huge, huge for Omer, because Omer doesn't have anything. And now 2 people in the game who were threats to win this game do not have idols. And the one thing that we've seen in Survivor over the past, when it was the Zeke situation, when we had like Shan and Deshaun and all of that, once that happens, the next time a tribal council comes up, people are back in game mode. Like, they're back. They're ready to go. And they say, you know what? If you're the one who I have to vote out, you're the one who I have to vote out. We saw Andrea vote out Zeke like 2 tribal councils after everything went down. And that was such a big moment. And they were so tight and everything. We saw that happen. I really think that, like, who has an idol right now? Just Mike. Mm-hmm. And Mike and Omer just voted together, even if it's not what Mike wanted. Mike, Omer, Jonathan, Lindsay, Mary Andrea. I feel like High and Romeo should be the next 2 people. Like, that just feels too good. And then if you look at that, though, where does Omer fit? With Marianne, Lindsay, Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
No brainer. And if Mike does play an idol, who's he going for? Drea, Lindsay, or Marianne? Like, Omer is clean right now.
Yeah.
The biggest issue is going to be when High, Drea, and Lindsay start going home and their advantage starts to become something else. How is that going to impact Omer's game? Because right now, Omer is playing a phenomenal game of Survivor. I will say without a doubt, through this long of the game, he is playing the best game. But we probably could have said that at this point in the game about what? Like, I guess in Gabon, there really was
nobody. I can't think of anybody like Wendell and Dom. Like, I really think he's totally on fire. And I feel like he's been playing this well since episode 1, episode 2, which is really, really impressive. I am very nervous for Mike's idol, because Drea still has her knowledge's power. She is now idol-less.
Great point.
I don't, I mean, there's no idol to take from Marianne. I don't know if they're going to rehide any. I don't think so, but knowing them, knowing Survivor, they probably will. That could be big, big trouble for Mike's idol. In terms of other advantages, can you remind me, it's an extra vote right now with the amulet and it would become a steal a vote, or is it the other way around?
Yeah, it's an extra vote right now. So there'd be one extra vote. Marianne has an extra vote. Drea has an extra vote. And then Drea still has knowledge as power. So you're right. She could steal Mike's. So this is where I think Drea is a really smart player. And everything tonight was obviously completely authentic. But I just think, like, she's an incredibly smart player. She definitely was going to play her idol tonight before they got to tribal and before she saw Roxroy over there. Because she knows that if she plays her idol, she still has knowledge as power and an extra vote. And now there's only 8 people left in the game. That's a massive jump. And you know, final five is fire making. Or I'm sorry, final four is fire making. You can only play an idol till 5. You have 8, 7, 6, 5. You're probably the second strongest person out there if you just go pound for pound muscle. So she could go out there. She could win, what, 1 immunity. Then she has an extra vote, potentially another idol if she can get rid of High and Lindsay. And she still has a steal and knowledge is power to get Mike's or get Marianne's. She knew the numbers. She knows the numbers. So I do think that no matter what was going to happen tonight, she was going to play that. Yeah, I mean, I still think Drea is in a good spot. But, okay, so are you thinking right now that Omer is winning this season, though? Is that where your head is going?
It feels like it. It feels very obvious, but everything he's doing is really just miles ahead of everyone else. I think, you know, I think, like, we've seen High come up and down. We've seen, like, Mike beat out Chanel, like, but he's like, he was kind of like hanging on to that for a little bit. Everyone has like their like sense of being like a human. Omer is doing everything perfect. He feels like he is a robot made to win Survivor, and no one has talked about him. No one has talked about him, and no one has talked about Mike and Lindsay. I feel like those are the only names that have never ever come up. But I think Omer is playing the best game out of, I would say, those 3 people who I just brought up.
Yeah, I agree. And what's interesting about Omer, and I love doing my Game of Thrones reference, but he really is playing a Littlefinger game here where all of the big players are doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And then for the first 10 minutes of the episode, Omer's not there because everybody else is doing the important stuff. And then they cut to Omer, and Omer then manipulates every single one of them. And he is Littlefinger. Like, he is playing that game right now. Like, he is taking the big players, the Dreas, the Jonathans, the Mikes, the Lindsays, the Mariannes, and he is listening to them, taking all of their information, and then he's running around and he's telling everybody else, hey, they're out for you. They're out for you. They're out for you. Now, the one problem, spoilers, you got 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Littlefinger dies. So Omer, I'm not buying.
I was like, what are you about to spoil?
Yeah. Omer, I'm not buying completely yet. However, if you start to break down what's happening with, and Logan, I gave you the spoiler countdown. If you start to break down what is happening right now, who else is coming out of this unscathed? I said that at the beginning, but I'm still thinking about it after we've talked about this for as long as we have. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard. And it could just come down to final tribal council.
Logan, if you're on season 2, you should not be listening to
a
general pop culture podcast.
I have watched Game of Thrones all the way through, minus the last 2 seasons, so the first 6 seasons, 10 times. So, 7 and 8, I think, stink. But 1 through 6, man, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, but I hope you enjoy it. It's definitely a show worth sticking with. I'm trying to think of what else I got here. I don't know. Nothing too crazy. That was the most lame challenge ever. That's normally a pretty fun challenge, but like, there's nothing they can do with that with the water.
They screwed up big time. They really, really did.
Couldn't they have just used it for another week? I don't know how that works.
Well, what I was going to say is I feel like this season, I almost feel like they're doing it on purpose. I feel like they're like bringing them further out or something. Cause think about that really brutal ladder challenge they had.
Mm-hmm.
That water was insanely rough. This water was insanely rough. We know the water around Fiji is really, 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 really rough. Like, we know it. because we watched Mike or Pat have to get pulled from the game because of these waters around Fiji.
Yeah.
This is probably happening. It's like telling me you're going to play a baseball game at 3 p.m. outside in Miami in July. You know, it's going to thunderstorm. You know, it's coming. I almost feel like they might be doing this like as a, we have this day. Like, we had tribal council last night. They're coming here. They're doing immunity. We got to send them off to their two beaches and go. I almost feel like they're like, when is it going to be high tide? And let's just get this thing over with. I don't think they were that mad. Because if that challenge does go on for an hour, hour and a half, like it could, they're screwed. How are they fitting this all in?
Yeah. And this was at least like, it was exciting, like watching everyone like flop around. Normally everyone's really controlled during this, but like seeing like Lindsay like fling back and forth was, I guess, like a little more interesting than just watching her stand there. So, but it worked out that this was a 5-minute challenge.
I will say too, I think Jeff did a very good job calling this challenge. He gave me that like really big intensity. Like, I feel like I was watching a Super Bowl thing here. I just thought that was really, really well done. So, I agree with you. The challenge is a waste. It was like 14 seconds long. Jonathan won them the kebabs and that was it. And, Jonathan got his first immunity necklace and the other one went to High.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've lost Challenge Beast Tori, who, I know, by the way, like, my heart goes out. Love Tori, big fan.
I know.
She's gone. We've lost the Challenge Beast of the season. Do we think that when one of these two people doesn't win, High or Jonathan, that they're done? Or Jonathan's name really doesn't come up that much. Or do they let it keep going? Because you brought up a good point earlier and I didn't really touch on it, but Dre and Jonathan were hugging it out after all this. Like clearly, like she said, like, you know, I love you, it's not you, blah, 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 but you need to like know your role and shut your mouth. That's the, what is it? Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, you need to stop talking right now. Like, that was
WWE friends.
Yeah. You're welcome. I think, right. Know your role and shut your mouth.
Was, oh God. I am truly the last person.
Not Stone Cold. Who was that? Kurt. I don't remember. Somebody tell me in the chat. Somebody's got to know. But I just think, like, I don't think there's going to be as much either animosity, or if there is animosity, they're not going to see him as a threat. But I don't think they're viewing him, Jonathan, that is, as like a Dan Foley or a Will Sims, mm-hmm. where they're finding him to be like absolutely despicable. I think that they like this guy. They just don't like him all the time. And I think that's pretty much what happens on Survivor. But do we think that what happened tonight, because his edit, I think Mike Bloom posted a picture of it, was a dive. It said Jonathan's edit was him diving off the top.
Swan dive.
Is he doomed the next time he doesn't win, especially now that he's won one? Or are there bigger fish to fry still? And could High be that person? Or are neither of them in trouble? And maybe this men's thing does work out now that Marianne and Drea don't have idols and Lindsay doesn't have anything.
I don't think he's doomed. I think he is the kind of player where his name is going to come up every single tribal council just because of his body type. I think that was happening before this episode and that will happen after this episode. I think the players will, at least, like, I'll specifically say like Drea and Marianne, I think they're going to operate with just a bit more caution. As I mentioned, he said every wrong thing in the book. You can talk about intention. His intention wasn't bad, but you should know not to call a black woman aggressive after God knows how many years of people doing that. With that, I don't think like that will be the reason he gets voted out. I do think his winning chances go down if they're on the jury, but I don't mean that as like they're going to hang this over him, but just people vote for whoever they want and for whatever reasons on Survivor. I don't think he's going to like be a social leper on the tribe after this. I think like they're probably going to go back and they're going to have a much longer conversation that either will or will not be shown. I'm sure that they have all worked it out or had whatever discussions they've needed way more than what any of us are imagining. Mm-hmm. For better or for worse, I don't think he like goes home 7-0 because of that next week.
I do think, though, with this season, unlike last season, so we saw, like, you know, again, I keep trying to say, like, this was when these things were filming, you know, think about where we were a year ago as a country.
Mm-hmm.
When these were filming, we saw last season where the Sean, Danny, Shan, that alliance came up. And it seemed like when that happened, they were going to vote for each other if one of them got to the end. Now, we saw Danny vote for Deshaun, but that was the only vote Deshaun got, and everybody else went Erica, who wasn't a part of that. The one thing I will say about this tribal council tonight is that if Marianne or Drea make it to the end and the other doesn't, they have three locked votes right now. Because Chanel and Roxroy, and maybe not Roxroy, but Roxroy, just based on his final words, it seemed so like very like touched and intentional and all that. I just think this was bigger than last season's. And I think that this will result, because Marianne and Drea are both very well liked, where Deshaun started to go full Romeo, like we're seeing Romeo do right now. And that's having a big impact on things. I just think that this is a I just think that this is definitely going to impact the end of the game if one of them does make it there, at least from Chanel and Roxroy and Drea slash Marianne, whichever one isn't sitting at Final Tribal. Because what Drea and Marianne did tonight, that was like a personal thing that they also did together. And I think that's getting mixed in this right now because of all the conversation and everything. But they did this together. And I think that's huge.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just thinking in real time, the only other interaction that we've major interaction we've seen between Dre and Marianne was an incredibly uncomfortable tribal council moment a few weeks ago, where Dre and Marianne kind of like had just like Dre kind of shut her down. Marianne fought back a little bit. It felt like an incredibly unnecessary thing to add, and like, regardless of where their relationship ends up going, I still think it was kind of weird to put it in, but two people who were never seemingly aligned, I think are now at least going to be moderately aligned.
Yeah. And I do think too, what Survivor's doing a really good job of this season, and what I hope people can gather now that like we are moving into a different, like, I don't know, just everything. I hope that people can gather that Survivor is doing a really good job of showing the complexity of everybody, of everyone's relationship. And like Roxroy definitely said some, I think your mic came unplugged, but Roxroy definitely said some questionable things about like, you know, relationships with women or women this season and all that. But at the end of the day, Roxroy showed a hell of a lot of respect at the end of the game for what Drea and Marianne did. And I don't think it's a hateful thing or anything like that. I think there's a lot that we're seeing about, and this is what Survivor was all about at the first season. Remember, Rudy Bosch did not say the nicest things in the world. I think at the end of the day, they're really doing a good job of the complexity and where you're from and what you do and how you can build these relationships and disagree heavily with something that somebody's saying, or be insulted by somebody to your face in a moment of heightened reaction and still not hate that person. And I think that's a good thing that Survivor's doing, because I think that for so long there was that knee-jerk reaction of Survivor to try to create more fuel for the fire. And I think now they're trying to say, hey, we have given the embers for sure. Like, we're keeping the embers going, but we also want to show you the good side of things too. We don't just want to show you the bad. And I think ultimately we're going to see a conversation about this at the beginning of next episode with Drea and Marianne. And I think we're going to see something from Jonathan. Maybe I'm wishful thinking, but I think we're going to see something. And I just think that that is so good from a storytelling perspective. And it's a good thing for Survivor moving in the right direction. Jeff still needs to learn how to handle the aftermath of these things. Your mic is not working. Jeff needs to learn how to handle the aftermath of these things in terms of with a vote and things, like that. But I think it's moving in the right direction.
Hi.
Hi. You're good. You're back.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think we're definitely going to get something after that. I had a thought that is completely gone.
It went into your muted microphone.
It went into my muted microphone and is in the ethers of time and space. I don't know. I'm sure it was nothing of use. What else?
Guys, anything I just want else? Everybody to know I didn't say it. She said it. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Alexa said it. I didn't say it.
What did I say?
It was nothing of use.
Yeah. I'll be self-deprecating on that.
I want to just let's run through some stuff then. And then if you think of the point, we'll do it. Torian Roxroy did not end up with a confessional of every episode, but Omer does still have it. Marianne still does have it. Jonathan doesn't have it. He didn't have one in episode 3. Mike has it and High has it. So High, Mike, Marianne, Omer all still could get you a confessional in every episode. A lot of props tonight, though. So let's run through these really quick. Tori was great with this. Had 5 votes or less. 1 individual meaning, obviously. Blindfold, blurred mouth. 5-plus rewards. Tonight, we had Drea, Lindsay, and Marianne all hit 5 rewards. Jonathan was already at 5. Tori was already at 5. Roxor was already at 5. Romeo's at 4, believe it or not. The only man right now who is out of the game or still in the game who has sat out 3 times. Jonathan and High both won individual immunity, so that's obviously a big one. What else was there? Episode title. So Jeff said it's a game of chicken, and then Mike repeated his words, which means Mike gets the episode title. Mike said, you're right, Jeff. It is a game of chicken. Boom. Episode title.
Finagles his way into the prop bet.
Beautifully done. Good job,
excellently
Mike.
Done. He listens.
He listens. There's no doubt about it. He wanted to make sure. He definitely knew that was going to be the episode title when all of this come out. What else was there? There was no 10-plus confessionals in an episode, so that didn't happen. Makes the jury. So makes the jury. That'll be Tori. Alexa, I see you have that one blacked.
Yeah, yep, so I will fix that IRL.
So makes the jury. Tori and Roxroy both made the jury. I'll put in Roxroy's there. And then that's it. No gets individual mini idol. There were no tears. I don't believe Drea. I think Drea was just pissed. I don't think there were tears.
I assumed she did, but maybe she didn't. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Oh, Lindsay cried though.
Lindsay did cry. Okay. There you go.
Can we put that in?
Boom. Yep. That's already in there. And so that was that. Roxroy gets 10th for the bootless game. Tori gets 9th. For the fantasy game, for anybody playing at home, Lindsay finally had her first fight, and we're counting that one. Lindsay gets 0.5 point for that. Jonathan gets 1 point for that. Nicola Host says Drea was crying, so Drea does get it. Marianne had tears. Marianne's always had tears. Marianne has been the tear queen. Tori cried. We put that one in too. So there we go. We have all of the tears. Those are all in there. That's really it. I do want to run through this real quick, Alexa, because I think it's getting a little bit more interesting as we continue to talk about edit and things along those lines. And are you in the camp that High doesn't have much of a chance to win this right now, or do you think High still has a shot?
I don't really think he's going to win. I actually think that Romeo had I don't know if Romeo's having a comeback, but I also didn't think Romeo dipped that low. I think I'm glad that the narrative has shifted away from Romeo was actually desperate and paranoid, because I'm sorry, his name was coming out there and he did get votes. So how dare he be desperate and paranoid? I think that Romeo could bounce back. Maybe Drea and Romeo reconnect, because Drea did just lose her number one. Mm-hmm. She probably gained something in Marianne and something in Lindsay. Maybe she and Romeo reconnect because they're both a little more alone right now.
It's a good point. That's a good point. I think that I don't think Romeo can win, but I certainly think Romeo is going to be hanging around for a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to be floating around for longer than he probably should be, because I think Romeo is a good player. I think he just doesn't really have anywhere to turn right now.
Romeo feels like Ryan Ulrich. He's on the wrong season.
Skinny.
He's small. He's skinny. The wrong season. He can't win on this season, I don't think. But I just want to throw out the confessionals for anybody who's keeping track at home, because I want to show how even it is right now, because it's so insanely even. So we just had Roxroy go home with 21. I never thought that I would see Roxroy hit 20. Tori went home with 20. She went home with fewer confessionals than Roxroy. Just throwing that out there. Here's the order that it is right now in terms of who has the most to who has the least. Mike has 31. High has 29. Drea and Omer both have 26. Marianne has 24. And then Romeo has 20. Jonathan has 18 and Lindsay has 14. So Lindsay is still averaging over a confessional and a half per episode. And they're counting episode 6 and 7 or 7 and 8, whatever that was. They're counting that as one episode or as two episodes. So she's doing not that bad. If you start to look back at other episodes of Survivor or other seasons of Survivor and how those went down, I just want to say that's pretty damn even. And especially if Lindsay keeps getting now 4 confessionals per episode and she lasts 3 more episodes, I mean, she's going to be coming in at 28. That's going to be pretty good. And they're running out of people. I don't think Lindsay's edit's done. I don't think she's going to win, but I don't think her edit's done.
Yeah, I think, I mean, her edit can only go up, especially now that there's just fewer and fewer people left. It's yeah. kind of crazy. I feel like we're suddenly at the end of the game because we just lost two people. It feels like we're at the finale.
It's how it felt last time too, especially yeah. when we know that the finale, I mean, the finale is May 26th, May 25th. So that's coming up.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Oh gosh. Wow. Just
I know.
Great timing for you, Phil.
I know. It worked out as perfectly as it possibly could have. If anybody still wants to interview with us after this season, if you can still stand me, you're going to have to wait until my honeymoon's over. I'm just saying. So everybody's going to wait a little bit. Alexa's going to be doing all the legwork while I'm doing nothing. So can't wait.
That this is the one time I'll be okay with it.
I'll give you a 1% raise. all right. So yeah, I think that's it, Alexa. I don't think, do we have anything else that we need to touch on or anything you wanted to say? Did you think of your thought?
We know the thought was probably, again, nothing of use, quote Alexa Pappas. We are going to, Phil and I are going to have to talk about when we're going to do predictions because I'm in for a wild next like 8 days. But we'll do the predictions at some point. I will not be around for the next recap, so Phil will be with somebody. For those of you who are $5, $10, and $20 patrons, we are going to be recording our Q&A podcast tomorrow, and then we are going to be doing our retrospective separately just because of our schedule. So you can expect those before Sunday, which is the last day of the month. Become a patron, patreon.com/thrivespecialist. And that's all. Hope everyone has a great night and please be nice to each other.
Good luck.